Brisbane Wakes Up with Steph, Abby and Matt on B105.
Well, hello there.
Hiya.
Hi, what do you guys want to ask Jessica Malboy?
Yeah,
you're not going to hear it on this podcast, so no. Sorry, but we do have an interview with her.
Mm. You'll hear it on tomorrow's podcast.
You will. Probably. You will. But we did have Ed Cavalier on today and also Sonia Kruger on today, so you're going to hear that.
Sonia Kruger.
I did say Sonia Kruger. Yeah. Today.
I like that.
Sonia Kruger.
Kruger.
Guava's my favourite.
Kruger's.
Personally.
I do like the guava. It's refreshing, but not sickling.
My wife just did a gig for a company, and they were like, oh, it's for a charity. And they're like, so we'll give you a little bit of money, but we'll also pay you in stolichnaya.
In what?
In what?
Stolichnaya. Stollies.
Oh, why Stollies?
They're an alcohol company.
Oh,
it might even be them.
It's their product.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
So why is it a charity?
They're doing it's a fundraiser for Ukraine. And they've actually, because the Stolichnaya, people think, oh, we can't drink that vodka anymore because we don't want to help out the Russians. But they're like, no, we're from the Ukraine. We were in Russia. We actually fled Russia way back in the day.
We fled
Russia. And so we're completely
Stolies are from?
Ukraine, apparently, or Lichtenberg or somewhere.
Are they just making that up? You reckon they're trying to scrub it off the bottle?
I mean, there's a marketing manager there going, come on.
Everyone's saying that when I've gone to functions and they're like, and we'd just like to let you know that we have some vodka. It's not Russian vodka.
Yeah.
And you're like,
whereas before you'd have to actually go, it is Russian vodka. We want to make sure.
Yeah. But it was like, I didn't think of it, but thank you for letting me know.
Mm.
Well, I mean, what's incredible is that Ukraine won Eurovision last night.
I haven't heard the song. You should play it for me.
And I've got the subtitle, so this is a much better experience for me than you.
What are they saying?
Okay. You trusted me, trusted everyone else. Even when I was tired, she just kept rocking me. Lullaby. It's about a mother rocking their baby. Mother Stefania, Mother Stefania, Mother.
Because remember, we started playing last year's winner.
Yeah.
Yeah. The field is blooming, but her hair is getting grey. Mother, sing me the lullaby.
Rocking it.
It's a good tune.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Good tune.
There you go.
All right. Here we go. Let's get into the podcast.
Okie dokie.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
A question has come up on TikTok.
Your Bible?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Everything on the talk.
Everything.
Is that?
I know. It's your
around.
Life. I get it.
And I want to see what you guys think of. Well, we'll see what your answer would be to this.
Okay.
Remember last week we were having the this Tuesday, next Tuesday debate.
Yes. Which one is next Tuesday? Which one is this Tuesday?
Well, that was because it was a Tuesday. So because it's Monday, we would be saying that next Monday, but you would say it's this Monday, which is incorrect.
Because this Monday is this
Monday. It's today.
Anyway,
sure. I thought it was today. You guys say this Monday.
Yeah.
But after we had that conversation and we all disagreed, I saw this pop up and I want to see what you think about this question.
If I say we have a meeting at midday and then I say, can we move it forward 2 hours? What time is that?
Well, 10 a.m.
2 o'clock.
Did she say move forward?
See, this is, listen carefully. Yeah. So,
she said move that meeting forward.
And this is what divided people in the comments.
If I say we have a meeting at midday and then I say, can we move it forward 2 hours? What time is that?
Well, I say forward as in, I want it before. But if you...
But that's moving it back. You're moving time backwards.
Can I move it forward?
Forwards? There's two.
Is it two?
I went straight to two.
What would you go?
I say 10 a.m.
Right.
Move it forward mean
Let's
I want it earlier.
Yeah.
Let's move it earlier.
But that's
I want
moving
it, forward.
It back from 12 to 10. Can we move it back 2 hours?
Well, firstly, you would say the time.
Yeah.
Frustrating.
Yes.
Yeah. But if I said to you, hey, we are meeting, but I want to move it forward. Is that all right? And you go, yeah, cool. I can come earlier.
Yes.
That would be my conversation because forward means that we want to move it to earlier to now.
Mm.
See, because what's tricky?
Because if I said move it back, that would be 2 hours later.
But you're moving the time back.
See, because what you're in your mind, and this is what I thought about, in your mind, you're picturing a clock.
Yes.
So you're picturing the hand
and
moving.
And the way that the time moves. Yes. Mm. If you want to throw a real curveball, you'd be like, hey, that meeting next Tuesday, can we move that 2 hours forward? And just watch everyone's minds explode. I don't know. I was going to stay home.
What was there as an actual answer? Not really, is it?
Well, there is no answer.
Yeah. We need to discuss where to put tomato sauce in the cupboard or the fridge. We'll do that next Tuesday, but we're moving that meeting 2 hours backwards.
Just, can you send me an invite?
Wow.
A calendar invite?
Yeah. So what happens? Do you have two meetings where people? Some people go at 10, some people go at 2?
No, but it feels to me kind of like a wedding invite, right? Yeah. So when you are having a wedding and you don't really want people to come and you just give the invite really like close to the wedding and it's overseas, it feels like that you could just do a vague invite.
Yeah.
And then if people rock up, they rock up. They don't.
So what are you going to lock in?
I'm locking in, move it forward. Mine would be 10 a.m.
10 a.m., yeah.
I can see the thing, but my original head, my straight to 2. And, like, didn't even see a question. It was like, well, it's 2 o'clock. Play a song. This is stupid.
Yeah, interesting. That's very interesting.
No wonder I've missed so many meetings.
Ryan has called up, and you can anytime on 13 10 60. Ryan, what do you think about it?
Well, if you think of it on a timeline.
Yeah.
And you've got a meeting at 12.
Yeah.
Moving it forward would be moving it closer to you on that timeline, making it 10.
Right.
That's my thinking as well. Because you're moving it forward to where I am. Mm. If I was moving it back, that would be further away from the current time, which would be 2 p.m.
That's right. Further away from you.
Yeah. But you're right, though, Abs. If you say that, you're always going to put a time at the end, unless you're just messing with people. You're always going to go, hey, let's move it forward to 2, if you don't mind. You're not just going to go, let's move it forward a couple of hours.
As far as this Monday...
Yeah. Don't, today, please don't.
This Monday is next Monday. The Monday in a week's time.
No, it's not, Ryan. Today. That was last week we decided this. Today. Yeah, today's today.
Monday is today.
Right.
Next Monday is Monday. Like, the Monday next week is next Monday.
We'll talk about this later. We'll move it forward 2 hours.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
This is a long shot. I don't know if anyone would have seen it and be able to help me. But if, for any reason, you did go to the Brisbane Comedy Festival and you saw Gary Starr.
Yeah.
Gary Starr, Grease Lightning. If you can call up 13 10 60 to help me explain this.
So that's your
friend, your ex-boyfriend show?
Well, here's the thing. So I went to drama school in Sydney and I dated one of the other guys there and we went out for like 2.5 years. It was a pretty serious relationship.
Yeah, you didn't just date them. 2.5 years.
Yeah, sorry, it was my boyfriend. Yeah, yeah. We were solid. Yeah, we went out for the whole time that we were in drama school. Like, we stayed at each other's family's house. Right. You know, he's from Canberra. Right. We were living in Sydney. I'm from Adelaide. Like, we'd go and visit. Like,
had a dream of being actors together.
Yeah, and we're going to go overseas. And he did go overseas. And we broke up before. So this is in early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen him since.
Right.
We saw each other a few times when we were broken up, like at parties. And then we've stayed in contact because we were still really good friends when I went to drama school. But I haven't seen him since. And he's been doing this touring show. And I wanted to go and see it. Now, I have heard rave reviews about this show.
Yeah.
Absolutely rave reviews. And I feel so slack that last time he was here at the Powerhouse, I didn't go. So then this time he, through a publicist, invited me to go. And I was like, I need to go. And there's a friend of mine, Tennille, who loves any theatre. And I just hadn't had a chance to catch up on what the show was. I knew it was about, like, Greek mythology. And I thought, that's great. He's a fantastic actor.
You said it was the Greek mythology in an hour, like the entire
thing in an hour. But I knew it was, like, a comedy as well, because it's at the Brisbane Comedy Club. Well, like I said, 5 out of 5 stars. And I was sitting there with my friend Tennille, and she was like, what is this about again? I don't really know. I haven't had a chance, but great reviews. She's like, yeah, no worries. And he comes out, and the show was absolutely hilarious. Yeah. Like, so funny. And he's ridiculously talented.
But.
I didn't realize the nudity.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
So I haven't seen.
There he is.
I haven't seen him for 15 years.
Yeah.
And at one point, he is. Well, he's completely naked.
Well, Grease.
With just, like, I wouldn't even say it was a G-string because it was that small, with his right ball out.
On purpose?
I don't know.
Okay.
And I was like, my friend leaned over to me and she goes, I feel closer because we've seen the same penis. And I was, shut up. There was a lot of,
I feel like I have to show you my husband's now.
There was a lot of crowd participation. And I was like, oh, dear God. I haven't seen him in like 15, 20 years. Yeah. Like, great guy, but I haven't seen him for 20 years. If he gets me up on stage, yeah. I was like, no. And he didn't. Bless his heart. But then after we did go for a drink, and like, I mean, at the end, he was completely stuck. It was like no clothes on. Right. And not even no clothes. He did a birthing scene. So he was like, you know, you touch your toes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Hilarious. Yeah, everyone loved it. We went for a drink after. And I was like, oh, I didn't know that you were like, that was like, I didn't know that was full nudity one. He goes, yeah, I was going to scream out like at the end because I was telling my stagehand that my ex-girlfriend's coming and I haven't seen her for ages. Yeah. And I was going to yell out saying, hey, hasn't grown in 20 years, hey.
do you think this is a plan of his? Oh. Every different city he goes to, he invites an ex and he's like, no. Hey.
And it was honestly, next time he comes, we have to go.
Oh, you've
really
sold it
funny.
To me. I can't wait.
Yeah. Well, it's got rave reviews. It was pretty good.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
Ed Cavalli.
Ed! Yeah! Have you been paying attention? What a brilliant show this is. And it's back tonight, 8:40, Channel 10. Ed Cavalli is on this morning. Hello, buddy.
Hello, friends. Thank you so much for having me. How is everyone?
Good. We have to actually say Gold Logie winning. Have you been paying attention? It just got nominated for another Gold Logie yesterday.
Not gold. Thank you. So, Abby, how dare you? It's not gold.
We're popular?
Most on, I think it is. Most Stab, I believe it's most still on program.
Yeah.
It's us and Danos Direct.
It's a dwindling category.
It is dwindling. No, look, the Gold Logie nominees, we've got Hamish Blake from your Lego Bastards, Julia Morris from the I'm a Celebrity, Carl Stefanovic, then you've got Melissa Leong, Ray Marsh, Sonia Kruger.
Yeah, we're chatting to her.
Oh, you're talking to Sonia? Because here are all of her shows. Should I take you through the Kruger melody, as I call it?
Yeah, go for it.
Yep. Okay, Big Brother.
Mm-hmm.
Holy Moly. Do you remember Holy Moly?
Yeah, the golf,
The golf. But, dude, what really happened on that show? What's it known for now?
People getting injured.
Yeah, they destroyed Denise Drysdale.
Many have tried.
She broke her arm, didn't she?
Or broke her shoulder, I think.
Yeah.
So the best part of that, and please bring this up because I'm obsessed with this piece of footage. Mm. What happens is wonderful Denise Drysdale. Man, she's been on TV since it was in black and white. You know what I mean? Like, she's been around forever. She is the best. So they get Denise out there and it's late at night and they've been filming because you know what these reality shows are like, Abby? They film for like, 25 hours a day.
That's great. Let's do another 5 hours.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. Let's do one more for safety.
Yeah. So anyway. So Denise is out there and she's got to do this thing with it's in a laboratory and she's just got to make a little putt. Now what they've done is in order to make it fun, they don't know actual scientists or epidemiologists or whatever. They've got animals dressed as scientists. So there's a giant squirrel who's dressed in a lab coat, which is next to Denise. He starts to chase Denise and she says, oh, get away from me a little. And then she collapses and she does her shoulder.
Yeah.
Now that's very, very sad as we know, but Who's on call? Who's the person closest to her?
Please be the squirrel.
It's a giant squirrel in a lab coat. And he, in the footage, he goes over to help her, right? As the first responder, as all good squirrels are trained to do. Goes down, and then you just see the squirrel jump up and put his little furry hands to his little furry mouth, like, I'm embarrassed, and shake his head by side to side, trying to have a bit of fun with it, as the two actual medics run in and push him away because he was about to make it worse.
Was this on TV?
Yes.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Yeah, because it was filmed here, Ed, and a lot of the locals were saying there were ambulances just coming and going to Redcliffe the entire time.
Yeah, they got annoyed at the noise. They were doing complaints.
People were being slayed.
Got to a point where they're like, just don't turn on the sirens. Just let the ambulances come and go.
As they cart them away. And then she's got Dancing with the Stars All Stars, which Grant Denyer won. Did you see any of Grant's dancing in that?
Did anyone?
I wanted to say yes. No, we recorded it. We're getting around to it. Yeah. We're just got a lot on at the moment.
We're going to finish the voice, then we'll get around to
we've recorded it. That is hilarious. Yeah. On your TiVo.
A TiVo.
Foxtel IQ.
Yeah, absolutely. Will you be going to the Logies this year then?
It's on the Goldie.
Yeah.
Of course I'm going. Okay. I am going this year. Tom's going. Myself and Tom are going. Sam thinks he's too good for it. And so he won't be there. I think he's coming. We're trying to force him to come, but he's, you know what he's like. He's like, oh, I hate showbiz. All I do is go to work in showbiz, but I hate showbiz. And so, yes, we're definitely going. We're definitely going this year.
I guess the big question, I don't even know why they would do this to make it a possibility, but will Tommy Gleisner be up to his old tricks again this year? He was nominated for a gold.
No, he's not.
No,
you,
no. Tom Gleeson. He was in the photo giving it away.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, that's a, sorry, that's just a person not reading the actual article.
Nah, just looking at the headlines. Yeah,
so he was, because he's held onto it for 2 years, remember, because they had to cancel
Yeah.
That's why you haven't been asked to go and have you been paying attention, Stav, because you don't pay attention.
So far, in this interview, this is what we've got wrong.
Mm.
The shows that Sonia Kruger is on,
yeah.
And who is possibly going to win the Gold Logie? The only thing that we've learnt from this interview so far is that Holy Molly is deeply dangerous, and had a line of ambulances leaving the filming.
you had a big couple of months. This is exciting. We were talking about this off air though, because you are ridiculously buff, and we knew that.
I'm in shape, is what I would say.
Okay.
Yeah, buff.
A couple of years ago, your beautiful wife posted a photo of you in a pool in Bali, remember? And everyone's like, why is he hiding those muscles? But this isn't something that you do just to be in the front of Men's Health. Like, you're in shape the whole time, are you?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I am. Yes.
Why do you wear baggy clothes all the time?
I don't know if Sonia does, if Sonia could also do, you know, psychotherapy, maybe she could help me with that. Yeah. But I don't know. I like to, look, as you know, when you stop, well, Stav, you wouldn't know this, but when you stop drinking, you need something else to do with your time, right?
Cool.
I've lost Stav. And so I just went to exercise, and my wife has TXO Life, her fitness program, and I eat the food on that, Abby, but she can't cook. My wife. So I cook the food from her program, and then I before I eat it, she says, let me take a photo for Instagram. Then she takes a photo of it with her holding it up, like pretending to sweat. And then it goes up on Instagram, and then we eat it. So I eat. Look, I'm a boring man who eats healthily and trains a lot.
How long ago did you give up drinking? It's years and years, isn't it?
No, I gave up. I gave up when I was 24. I was at uni. And I remember it really clearly because I was going out with a girl who was in a band at the time. And how cool is that? I mean, I know. Mm-hmm. And
depends on the band, mate. You've given us very little information. Could have been high five. I mean, we narrowed down.
No, she was in a decent
you session. You hooked up with Charlie Delaney? That wasn't in the article on Men's Health. Left that out.
She was one of girlfriends. She was the one in the sunflower hat.
I loved her.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
So anyway, I had a girlfriend. We lived in a warehouse, and one night, we had a huge, after the big day out, actually, and one night I woke up and I thought the bread was running away, and I went, I got my other housemates, because I said, guys, the bread's running away, because I saw the bread run across the floor.
Okay.
Then I thought, hang on, do you know what? I reckon you might have had enough. And that was it.
Mm.
Or you've got rats. I mean,
what? That's actually what it was, because we lived in a warehouse.
But the outcome's the same,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. Yes.
Well, buddy, you're looking great on Men's Health. And also tonight, I'm sure you'll be looking good on there as well. Have you been paying attention? 8:40, Channel 10. You can also watch it on 10 Play. Ed Cavalier, always a pleasure, buddy.
Guys, thank you for having me.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
A Queensland man has just won the most expensive prize.
Townsville family are now multi-millionaires.
The couple from the Gold Coast. Wouldn't
it be nice? I was under the impression when you buy a Powerball ticket that it's Australia-wide. You can cash it in wherever you would assume you want, but you can't.
No, it's state. Because, the lotto is national. It's Australia-wide.
Yeah. So does that mean you win in Sydney, the Sydney lotto has to pay for it?
So everyone's going, I hope it's not a Queensland winner this time.
Do you know what I mean? Like, they're all getting the money for it. We'll look into that. But the issue is I bought a lotto ticket. Actually, I bought two lotto tickets down when I was at Kingscliff, and they both won. One was $9, one was $16. And I was like, I want to get another ticket for the big Powerball. But I couldn't. So I said, is anyone driving down there? And Damon, bless his heart, from Moorumba Downs, who I now refer to him as St. Damon. He said that he's going down there this weekend and he's going to get the ticket. I refer to him as St. Damon. Because you wanted to prove that he was trustworthy. Matt, you're a little bit I don't believe how good he is.
Yeah, character references.
I just thought you're giving him your tickets.
And I'm sharing half with him.
And he's going to purchase a Powerball for you that's worth
$80 million.
I'll also point out that you said that you would pay him half. He didn't want any money. And you were just I'll give you half, which is lovely of you.
Okay. He says that now, but what about when we win? Will he still say that?
No.
Also, if you're sharing half with him, where does that leave me and Stav in
the
equation?
That's a very good
point. I said that we are going to give away $2 million to people that listen to the show. And if you guys will listen, Stav won't. He hates the station, listening when he's not here, so he won't.
No,
but you, Matt, you're up for a win, all right?
Out.
Okay. Damon, hey.
Hey, how you going?
Now, you, I mean, I know you were online, but we did ask for people for references, and we got your boss and your mum to call, and this is what they said. How long has Damon worked for you?
On and off for about 5 or 6 years now.
Whoa. Did you just say on and off?
Oh.
He went and did a stint in the military, but then he came back.
Oh, that's impressive. Okay, and what is he like as a worker?
He's pretty solid. He's always been a really solid worker.
Tracy?
What's your boy like? Is he a good boy?
I'm going to say he's my hero. He's definitely my hero. Struggling through cancer and I lost my spleen as well this year. Oh. He's a beautiful boy. I'm not just saying it because he's his mum, but he is 100% to the moon back forever. Aww. He's a beautiful boy.
Oh, so we knew we were in safe hands, right?
Well, Damon, can you say something bad about yourself? Manny thinks that it's a bit sus that everyone's saying good stuff. Like, do you have bad qualities?
I think everyone has bad qualities.
Yeah, you're too giving.
That's probably one of my bad qualities is I'm too giving.
Too giving. All right. So you've been down to Kingscliff. Are you back?
We got back early this morning.
Okay. And did you get the ticket?
We did get the ticket.
All right.
To the 80 million.
Okay. Did you just quick pick it or did you have a theory of numbers to choose?
Oh, I'm not that smart.
So you just did an easy pick.
Just quick pick. I just used whatever you won from the ticket, and I got the best one.
All right, and now that you've got the tickets in your hands, and there is a chance of you walking away with half of Abby's 80 million, what would you do with the money if you won $40 million, Damon?
I don't even think I could imagine it.
Mm. Yeah. How much was the ticket? Sorry.
The ticket was $24.50 or something like that.
Okay.
And how much worth of winnings did you have?
25, but that's all right. Like, there was just a little bit of change.
What
right?
are you doing today? Can you swing by with the 50 cents?
No. I didn't know. I didn't want to make it awkward. I didn't know if you were going to put in your own money and get like a bigger one. I didn't know.
Well, I was a bit confused because there wasn't actually... I didn't know what you wanted.
No, so I know.
I just tried to use the most of the money that you want.
Yes, and I didn't know what I wanted, so that's fine.
Come the cracks.
No, it's fine. Good.
Oh, is it?
No, it's fine. Are you going to call me when you... Are you going to check the ticket on Thursday night and call me Friday? What's the deal now?
Well, am I coming to give you the ticket and then you're going to go on Thursday or...
Oh, well, I was trusting you to keep the ticket until Thursday.
Oh, perfect. No, that's all right.
Is it a bit too perfect? What do you guys think? Should I?
Your ticket.
I trust you.
You trust me.
Yeah.
We don't have a choice. You got the ticket.
Well, he's saying that he's...
you got us over a barrel. You do what you want, Damon, and we'll see you later.
He said he'd bring it back now and I could hold on to the ticket until Thursday or I could leave it with him.
What do you want to do?
I don't know. That's nerve-wracking.
I think he's...
Trustworthy?
Yeah.
Call me Friday morning, please.
From the island.
Oh. From the island. I'll come and pick you up in the helicopter.
Just do a flyby and wave.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
Alpha Bucks tomorrow, guys. It'll be the 17th of May. $10,000, 8 o'clock. If you would like to win the money, here are some answers to make it easier.
We got your letter is D. One of your answers is dragonfly. Another one is Danish. That could be the country or the pastry. And the last one is Maddie's favourite show, Dexter.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
Sonia Kruger.
Ooh. Gold Logie nominee, hello.
Good morning.
Congratulations on the nomination.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I was actually really surprised because I've never been nominated for a Logie before. So it's like, you know, I'm sort of used to the show, so I thought The Voice might be nominated because everybody seems to be loving it. But, yeah, I you could have knocked me over, honestly, with a fair bout when they said that I'd been nominated for a Gold Logie. What the hell?
No, of course you should be, and you deservedly so. And if you look at the list of people you're up with, it's hilarious when you get the little rundown. You've got Hamish Blake for Lego Masters. You've got Julian Morris for I'm a Celeb. Tom Gleason for Hard Quiz. And then Sonia Kruger for Big Brother, Holy Moly, Dancing with the Stars, All Stars, The Voice Generations, and everything else that she does. So if it was going on just busyness, you would win.
You know what? Or does that mean I have to work six times as hard as everybody else because they're way more talented? I don't know. Hamish was laughing. He was going,
collectively as a group of Logie nominees, we host 105 shows. And if you take out Sonia's shows, we still host 5.
Yeah.
That is true. Sonia, in your own words, not mine, are you going to get hammered before the Logies, or you think you're going to be okay this year?
Oh, well, do you know what? No, you have to keep yourself tidy, don't you? I mean, that's the thing. They've just inadvertently slightly ruined my life.
Well, wasn't it you that was saying that you went out the night before one Logies?
Yes. Yeah, I went out. And this is what I tend to do. I peak way too early. Mm. I will go out the night before and then be absolutely hungover as all get out for the event itself.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I can't be trusted.
When we go away as a group. Like when we do, we're like, oh, let's just go for a quiet dinner. We're going to go for a quiet dinner. Yeah. And then, you know, because the next day is a big event. And then, yeah, we have a few drinks.
First night fever, it's called.
Yes.
You just lose your mind, don't you? Uh-huh.
I know. Do you think it's a Queensland thing? Do you think that's why where life is? I don't know.
I think I think you've nailed it.
Yeah. Well, we get excited that we're invited to something in the big smoke.
We're on a plane. We have so much fun playing with the electricity that we just go crazy.
The naughty kids in the corner.
And of course, it is up the coast now. They've sort of, I think that's almost a permanent
thing. Yeah, the Gold Coast.
They're moving the Logies to the coast. Do you like it being there?
Yeah. I do. I really do. Because to me, it has shades of LA. Mm. You know, there are palm trees. It's kind of warm. And so, you know, for a long time, the Logies were in Melbourne and it had a vibe in Melbourne. But I think on the Gold Coast, it has a much more relaxed vibe to it. People, you know, don't get all head up and kind of antsy. They're just having a good time, almost like we're all on holiday.
Mm.
And the thing with this group of Logie nominees too, yesterday we were all, we were doing a bit of a shoot and we were in this sort of speakeasy bar in a back street on the Gold Coast, and they're such a good group of guys and girls, like Julia, Melissa, Hamish, Ray, who else is in there now? I've forgotten.
Tom Gleason,
who did win it last time.
Yeah.
Well, we just stood around doing this shoot, and they were just making me laugh nonstop. So I thought, I couldn't have picked a better crowd to be amongst at this point. You know, they're really good guys.
I know that they're all good people, but who's your biggest competition here, do you think? Because I'm putting my bet on you, Sonia. I really am, because you are the hardest working and you do deserve it.
She'll say that to everyone.
Could be throwing your money away there. But,
no, I don't reckon I'll say it to Ray. I don't think I will. I'm not going to lie.
You could get all the other nominees to go on Holy Moly, and then they'd get injured and be out of the race.
That's true. We could just take them out one by one, right? Mm-hmm. Go through the windmill of death, Carl. Do it. Do it. You want to do it.
So how do people start voting for you? Because this is the big push now. We're going to see all the ads and that. Have you got a campaign designed, ready to go?
I do not have a campaign designed, no. I think we've got... Isn't there enough kind of electioneering campaigning going on?
We wouldn't want to get Clive Palmer to back you.
I just feel like I've seen so much of it, I couldn't bear it, and nor could the public. Like, what? I can't do... I think guys like, you know, Tommy Gleason, he can run a campaign because it's funny. But anybody else trying to do it just comes across as being a little bit desperate, doesn't it? So, no, I think I'll leave that to everybody else. And I'm just like, I know it's a cliche, but I'm just stoked to be nominated.
Yeah, Tom Gleason's really taken it upon himself to do. It would be interesting to know if he does the same as what he did the last couple of years.
Yeah,
I don't know. I feel he's very unpredictable. It was really weird because we had to do this sort of eye acting yesterday. And they were shooting Tommy and they were sort of like, hey, look serious, now smile. And I said, and when he tried to smile, I was like, it made me laugh. This is not a natural facial expression to you, is it, Tom? He's so straight, but he's so funny.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's going to be a very a fun group of Gold Logie nominees this year.
Well, congratulations. We really hope that you do win it there on the Gold Coast for the Logie Awards. Sonia Kruger, always a pleasure to chat.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
First home buyers will be able to take up to $50,000 out of their superannuation to put towards a deposit if the Morrison government is re-elected.
Yeah, he announced it in Brisbane, actually, just yesterday. And I think that everything should be done to make it easier for people to get their first home. I think it is really hard.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if this is the response.
I know.
Well, I just get nervous about it. You're dipping into your super and he's like, it's your money. It's like, like, well, then why can't we have it to go and party?
Yes.
You know, like, there's limitations on it. Like, what is we now going to do? Are you going to be able to dip into it for another reason?
I love it. You're angry that he's letting them have it for a house. You're like, well, if that's going to happen, I want to go to Bali at Christmas.
Yeah, I got to get a few things done.
I want some fillers and some new boobies.
I want a boob reduction.
Superannuation boobs.
No, but I just mean, I honestly think that something should be done. I think the first home grant should exist for it, mm-hmm. or maybe get rid of stamp duty. Mm-hmm. Something should be done. I don't know if this is a good thing. Someone who knows way more about finance than us is Effie Zahos, the finance commentator for the Today Show and also Canstar. Morning, hun. Is this a good idea?
Good morning, Abby. I love the way you're thinking because I think you've nailed it. I'm not a fan of dipping into your super. It's not what it's intended for. And you're absolutely right. People have dipped in it for a whole lot of different reasons. And let's not forget, during COVID, we ripped through it.
Mm.
So I'll be surprised if a few people actually have anything left in their super funds to do this. Having said that, I mean, clearly this is an election or a vote pleaser, isn't it?
Yeah.
First-time buyers are going to be really excited about this. And they're probably going to be thinking, yes, this is great. It does not solve supply, and supply is the game changer when it comes to affordability. So this scheme doesn't do that. All it does is allow people to jump in earlier if they've got that money in their super. So for really low-income earners who haven't got money in super, it's not going to do anything for them.
Mm.
It will increase prices, there's no denying about that. I mean, industry super, you could say they're buyers because it's the industry super. They did some number crunching on this on a similar scheme and said that property prices could go anywhere between 8% and 16% higher.
Mm.
One thing, if I have got to say what I like about it, I do like that they force you to put that money back in. So, for example, if you took out $50,000 and your house doubled, say, in 20 years' time,
yeah.
And most people's first home is not their dream home, so I guess they're going to sell it to then move on, you actually have to pay yourself back that $50,000 because you doubled your profits, pay another $50,000. So you are putting money back into your super fund. But if you buy a dud property, you've got losses. So, you know, your super fund may have returned you more money.
And do you think, because... I know for me personally and a lot of my friends and a lot of people I chat to, super is a baffling thing for a lot of people anyway. They don't really understand it. They know it's there, but, you know, is there a danger that people will use it that probably shouldn't just because they're ignorant to the whole situation?
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, we don't look at super as our own bank account, and we should. Believe me, when you get to my age, you look at your super every day.
Yeah.
Oh, no, so trust me, staff should be worried about it too. Don't.
I'm going to a class this afternoon, so.
But you know when you say, I get concerned as well. If people are dipping into their super, like that is their money. That is their bank account for later in life. If they haven't got that, you know, in a large amount, then it's going to put more pressure on taxpayers to pay for the aged care. And I think a lot of people go, oh, that's okay, I'm going to have the pension. And I actually get concerned going, well, the way we're going, it might not actually be there.
Well, look, the pension as a percentage of gross domestic product is actually only small. I get where you're going with the argument there. It's very valid. I would say, do you want to live on $25,000 a year? Can you live on $25,000 a year?
Mm.
Because, you know, that's what you're looking at if you're relying on the pension. If it is there or not, let's put that aside. $25,000 is nothing.
Mm.
And that's, you know, a lot of people on the pension are in poverty. So you can't rely on the pension. I just feel that, you know, super is meant there for our retirement. I'm actually a little bit torn here because my gut feeling always is you don't mess around with your super. It's there for your retirement. But the fact you have to pay this back under this coalition scheme is not, it almost has me across the line.
Okay.
If I'm going to compare the coalitions with Labor's policy, the help to buy, basically the other one is, you know, Albanese's is very restrictive. It's only 10,000 spots. You're going in equity with the government. You've got to pay them back.
Yeah.
This one, you've got to pay yourself back. But, you know, you don't want to be in a situation also that, you know, you're asset rich but cash poor because the only thing you own is a house and you have no other investments, and that could be at the cost of your super as well.
I know me. I wouldn't trust myself to pay me back.
We're talking to Effie Zahos from Canstar. She is a finance commentator. It has left out, I mean, it's great for first home buyers, but it hasn't taken into account people who may get divorced. You know, you're... might find yourself at 40, 42, divorced, you don't have enough money to buy a house on your own, yet you want to be in the market. I really feel like there should have been some thought about people who, single parents who find themselves in those situations.
Well, you got the family guarantee under the coalition as well with that. So that's that one whereby if you have separated and you've got a dependent, you can buy a property. Doesn't have to, I believe it doesn't have to be your first, it's following a separation, and it's a 2% deposit that you put down. Either which way, all these schemes, let's go back to the point of what's happening here. It is hard to buy property. Affordability is a real issue. These are not addressing affordability.
Yeah.
We need to actually increase supply. And then that comes, that's at a state or territory level. And we're not working efficiently there. And I really wish that the government would work better in that department, because if we don't address supply, then property prices will just continue to be out of reach for everyone.
When you look at it as well, they're trying to do an election promise to allow you to access your own money.
You know, clever.
Like, it's not actually giving you money. Yeah. It's not a grant. It's...
And this is the thing also during the pandemic, that they were saying, here, you can help yourself, take your own money again. So we ripped out millions and millions of dollars out of our own super funds to, you know, help support, you know, keep ourselves afloat. It was our money, but this was not the intention of what super is for. And unfortunately, at the end of the day, low-income earners are those that are going to be paying the most, and then they'll find that they just don't have that money in retirement. Look, you can argue also the retirement review looked into this and said, look, property is a great way to build wealth. So long as you don't get in that situation where all you do have is property and no super, I think there's a fine balance. I'd prefer them not to play around with super, because I think you guys nailed it at the beginning. If they do it for this, what next? We've done it now as a cash cushion. We're doing it to buy a home. What next? I mean, you can actually get money out of super for medical reasons now already anyway.
There you go. Boob jobs. Next.
I think it's more emergencies than that.
It's going to be a fun week of hearing all the announcements in the lead up to voting on Saturday.
The desperation.
All the promises are going to be there. Effie Zahos, thank you for the time this morning.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
Leave Billy alone.
Britney Spears would have to be one of the most famous people in the world. Like, you wouldn't be able to go to any country and say Britney Spears and they go, who? And the world is fascinated by her circumstances, because everyone knew who she was, famous pop star, and then had a fall from grace and just controlled by her dad for the last 13 years. And because that's been lifted. And one of the things that she was talking about is that she wanted to have more kids. And I think so many fans are like, oh my God, finally we get to hear, like, you're the real Britney. She's not controlled as much. And she's sharing everything on social media. And last month, they shared that they were expecting a baby. Mm-hmm. And everyone was like, oh, my God, we're so excited. She was in Hawaii. Her partner, Sam, thought maybe it was just a food baby. So they did a test because she was eating a lot, apparently.
Yeah. Well, that's Hawaii. Like, food's great.
It's Hawaii, yeah. But they posted saying that they were expecting a miracle baby, because she's 40 years of age.
Yeah, right.
And that they were so excited about it. And then on the weekend, they announced that they had lost their miracle baby. And my heart actually broke for her. She said, because the deepest sadness, we've announced that we've lost our miracle baby early in pregnancy. This is devastating time for any parent, and perhaps we should have waited and waited to announce until we're further along. However, we're overly excited to share the good news. And when she did share it, I'll be honest and say that I cringed, because I was like, oh, my God, don't do that.
How early was it?
You're only a couple of weeks. Don't do that. But then I was thinking about it over the weekend. I'm like, why do we always wait for 12 weeks? Because it seems like we're doing it so that other people don't feel awkward. Because I always have, don't get me wrong, and I've had so many miscarriages, and I might share with you guys, but I won't actually say anything. And the more miscarriages I've had, I've waited till I'm, like, you know, 5 months pregnant, because just the fear of it. And anyone who's had a rainbow baby will know, you just have this real fear of something going wrong, so you don't want to share. But I was like, you're so excited about it, and you keep it a secret, and you won't tell loved ones, because something might go wrong. And that's true. And each to their own. If you're a person that goes, I don't want to have to go and then tell people that it hasn't worked out. But when you tell people, it's not you that feels bad, because you're experiencing it. You already are. But it's so that other people don't feel awkward.
Well, and it just made me think, you're right, because one of the main things that women say, and to be fair, Abs, and I'm sorry this is the way it is, I'm a bit of an expert on miscarriages because I've worked with you for so long, and you have had so many. But the big thing about them is that no one talks about it. And if you did say, hey, I'm pregnant at 2 weeks, and you would see how often it does happen, and it would probably normalise it a lot more.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
But we still don't. And I know that it is a previous generation as well. Because it would always be like, oh, don't
it's a shameful
it,
thing.
Yeah, yeah, don't. Yes. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying, is we don't talk about it because it might be a shame if you lose it.
Mm. But then you talk about the losing and the process and all that.
I actually really admire her for doing that.
Mm.
From your experience, have you noticed then, because she got to tell people she was pregnant, then say she'd lost it, I imagine it would be hard sometimes to say to people, I was pregnant and I've lost it, because you give that same information in the one conversation?
I guess, but once you do lose it, it's such a grief that I guess I didn't mind if people did know.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, I guess for her saying that I actually had so joy and now I've lost it, it's like you're still experiencing it, so why can't people as well?
Yeah.
And it's mind-opening for me that I've always done it and I don't know why.
Mm.
Well, it's a passed down tradition, I guess you would say. And is it that doctors do say once you get through the first trimester, that's the complications are lower and lower.
Yeah. And look, I mean, once you look into it, like the chance of miscarriage is sadly quite high.
Yeah.
You know, and whether that is, I don't know. I really don't know whether mother's nature or whatever it is. And our thing is we test so early as well, where normally you had to wait for a few weeks. So I can understand why people don't, because they're like, well, there is a chance of miscarriage, so I don't want to announce it.
Mm-hmm.
But for other people that want to, I just go.
No judgment.
No judgment for it.
Yeah.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
Sometimes being a geek has its downsides, and that mainly when it comes to a big new movie release, a Marvel movie release, and you have to get to see it as soon as possible because of spoilers. And it's hard to avoid if you're on the internet, if you're on Facebook, you know, the spoilers.
Why is that being a geek?
How do you mean?
Well, you said geek.
Yeah.
Are they the only ones that go and see the movie?
Well, they're the only ones that really care about spoilers. You know, the real Marvel fans, if you're a casual Marvel fan, like Manny, I've done it to you a few times, or someone said to you, oh, you know, Iron Man's dead, and you're like, what?
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, thanks for catching me up. Yeah. Whereas that would destroy the movie for you.
What? Yeah. So the new Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, the second Doctor Strange movie.
To be very good.
Yeah. So my wife's had COVID all last week. So I've sort of been getting home as soon as I can, keeping the house in order and that sort of stuff. But Friday.
What a hero.
I know. We do get out of here as soon as possible on a Friday, I believe that stands for. And so I thought, I'll go pop down and I'll see it. I'll have enough time on the Friday morning. So I went down to Rosalie Village, the little cinema there. It's a very small little cinema. And it was 10. It was early. It was very early. So early, the movie theater hadn't really opened yet. Like, the movie was on at 10.
Is that what time session it was?
Yeah. The movie was on at 10, but they still had, like, their gates were still, they only opened them a little bit. The popcorn machine wasn't on. They were just sort of in the process of getting everything together to open up, but they had a movie starting at 10.
And because you're so desperate, did you offer to help?
I was offering to put on the popcorn, I'll tell you that much. So I'm waiting there with this lady. She's in front of me. She's about, 75.
Ooh, okay. Don't do an age, mate.
75, 80.
She weighed about this much. She's probably about this many weeks pregnant. No, don't do that.
So there's 250 kilo, 9 month trimester, 85 year old. No, she's about 75, 80, right? Okay. And we're waiting because the lady's getting all the stuff ready to actually open up the till and stuff. And she turns to me and she goes, oh, I hope this is good. I hear good things. And I said, oh, yeah, you know, I've heard good things too. Everyone's kind of raving about it. She goes, well, I loved the first one. I thought the first one was delightful. And I was like, yeah, the first one was good. And I hear, you know, lots has happened in between. But I'm sure they'll manage to catch us all up to speed and whatnot. And, you know, I've heard there's some interesting people in it. And I don't know about this one, but I've heard there could even be zombies. And I love me some zombies. And she was like, really? I'm like, yeah, that's what I've heard. She goes, I don't know why they would do that. And I was like, well, you know, it's a sequel. They got to make it bigger than the last one. She's like, yeah, I guess so. Yeah, okay. And then the lady finished her till work and she turned around and said, what would you like? And the 85-year-old said, can I have 2 tickets to Downton Abbey, please? Which is a sequel. I didn't say anything. I just left. I was like, enjoy it. Yeah, the whole time she'd be walking out going, there were no zombies in that movie at all. It could have used some zombies. Zombies would have made that a lot better, I think.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
As another show draws to a close, Stav, Abby and Matt take a moment to reflect.
I had a few different nights out with my girlfriends on the weekend, on Friday and Saturday, and my husband is amazing. Just ask him. He had to do everything, even though I cooked dinner before I went out every night. But anyway, he still was home with the kids. Woke up on Sunday morning, and my middle child goes to me, "Is my eye that bad?" And looked the other way, and I went, "Oh, my God."
Oh.
And I was like, "No, it's fine."
wait, show me again.
He goes, "Can you take a photo?" I went, "No, you don't want to see a photo. It's completely bloodshot, and it's all, like, bruised." And I'm like, "How'd you do that?" And he goes, "Koa did it." So how did he do it? And he did it with a plastic sword. I said, Scott, were you looking after him? He goes, "I'm not the one that bought the Power Range sword for him."
Oh, wow.
I'm like, "Oh, okay." Oh. So trip to the eye doctor, which I was like, I had to try and go to a GP on a Sunday. It's hard. My friend had a good idea. Why don't you just take him for an eye test?
Uh-huh.
So I booked him in for an eye test
at
any of, like, OPSM. And I was like, "I'm sorry, he doesn't actually have an eye test. It's just look at the eye." They're like, "That's still a test."
Yeah, right.
I was like, "Awesome."
Perfect.
But you know when you're there, and I was there, like, "What happened?" I was like, "Well, his dad was looking after him."
Oh, how many times have they heard that in their lifetime?
I wasn't actually there. So you tell him what happened. Thanks. But no thanks.
Went to the Magic Round Friday night. The Broncos. What a game. What a game.
Who are they playing this weekend? Like, have they got some easy games coming up as well? I'm not saying that was an easy game. No, I didn't mean that. Sorry, but they got some good rounds coming ahead.
I believe this weekend, I'm going to quickly check the app because I'm not sure who they're playing.
It takes a while to load up,
does
it?
It does. It's quite annoying.
Keep going.
This weekend, they're playing the Knights.
Okay.
So we should be sweet.
Yep.
But at Suncorp Stadium, you know, when you buy a round of drinks, you get a drink tray, costs you a dollar to get that tray.
Yeah, hold on to that bad boy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which I did, and I always do, not only for the money, but also save the environment, plastic. So I went to get a second round of drinks, and the girl charged me for the drink tray, and I only noticed as I went, boop, and it went through. And I was like, "Oh,
no, I brought that back."
I said, "Why did you charge me?" She goes, "Because you got it just now." I said, "No, I brought it in with me." She pulls out her Nikko pen and draws a smiley face on it. She goes, "Unless it's got a smiley face." I was like, "Well, the girl didn't give it a smiley face."
What, are people bringing it from home? Is that the issue?
Well, no, if you buy it, they're meant to put a smiley face with a pen on it, so then they go, "Oh, it's got a smiley face. Someone's already done it."
Oh.
Were you like, "Can you make mine a frowny face? Because I'm pissed off."
Well, that's what I said. I was like, "No, I swear
what
I
did." What sort of code is a smiley face?
Oh, I
don't
know.
Yeah, you paid.
Yeah, maybe. But then I said to her, "No, I promise you, I paid for it."
And then do you realise that you're fighting over a dollar, but
exactly.
It's still so annoying?
It is annoying. She just looked at me and smiled and went, and shrugged her shoulders. And I just said, "Well, thanks for not caring," and stopped off. And I was like, "Well, good on you. She really cared." Anyway, thanks, but no thanks.
Are you allowed to bring it back for the next week?
If it's got a smiley face, maybe they change the code every time.
That's what I'm trying to work out. Yeah. Like, why can't you just bring it back? It's good recycling.
Well, I left it there.
Why would you leave it there? You just paid a dollar for it.
Well, now, thank you. Next time I go, I'm going to...
That's why I take the Aldi trolleys home. Now, we all know that Maddie's a little bit tardy on the responses with text, don't we? Like, sometimes you can text him 4 hours later, he'll text back.
Yep.
Or maybe that's just me. Maybe he texts you back straight away. Cool. Because I was at a bit of a
loose... Do you not send 5 texts at once saying, "If you don't answer me straight away, Maddie?" No.
See, that's probably what it is.
Yeah.
He mentioned he was having some drinks with his mates on the weekend, and I said, "Oh, I've got nothing to do. Maybe I'll come along." He's like, "Maybe, well, you're all right." And then Saturday afternoon, I still had no plans, and so I shot him a text, said, "What you up to?" And then I didn't hear back.
Mm.
And I didn't hear back for 40 minutes. So I went, "Cool, no worries. He's obviously busy. I'll throw
Are
out
you
a few."
Waiting by the phone for those 40 minutes? Like, going, "What am I doing? What am I doing?"
Looking at it. Go, "No bubbles yet, Kat. No bubbles.
I don't know what I'm doing.
I don't know what I'm doing. Maybe if I stand over here." No.
Why didn't you call him?
No. Well, it was all chill. But then I was like, "I'll throw out a bigger net because I got a night free. My wife's got COVID. Can't do anything. Kat, Rory's at the grandparents'. I thought maybe I'll go to the paddo, do some other stuff." I put out 3 or 4 different leads. And then they all came back to me saying, "Yeah, cool." And then Maddie got back to me saying, "Yeah, come over." So then I'm like, I went from having nothing to do to 5 possible things to do all at once. And that was your fault, Maddie. So thanks, but no thanks.
Stav, Abby and Matt.
I love Brisbane.
Built in Brisbane for Brisbane.
Rightio, secret sound time. This is the sound. And it's time to have a guess with Ellie.
Ooh. Yes, it is. Ellie.
Let's do it. I want to give away a car right now.
Okay.
13, 10, 60.
Have you logged in your guess, Ellie?
No, I'm still trying to figure it out.
I'm struggling.
Yeah.
And the clue's sugar.
Hmm.
Oh, I don't know.
See, I thought I had it, but then someone guessed what I thought last week, and even this morning's guess. You've got it there, Maddie?
Yes, I do. This was not the secret sound.
I think that sound is eating a lemonade ice block.
Which you'd think sugar.
And one of the clues was lemonade too.
With one hand, but it was incorrect.
Incorrect.
Bugger.
Yeah. Well, 13, 10, 60. If you know what Stav sound is, call right now. Have a guess to win a Suzuki. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye. Bye.
Brisbane wakes up with Stav, Abby and Matt on B105.